Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
The All Souls Paranormal Radio Network brings you some of the hottest paranormal radio on the net. Check out www.asprn.com to listen to archives, read about upcoming events, check the schedule, or to listen live every night for great paranormal radio. ASPRN offers you some great radio starting Sunday with Dead Speak Radio and The Man Who Talks to Angels. On Monday, Para Investigators Radio and The Chat People Radio. Tuesday, Maps Radio and Miami Town Ghost Talk Radio. Wednesday, Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Embrace the Dark, Paranormal Outreach Radio, and Residual Hauntings Live. On Thursdays, Ohio Crypto Radio, EVP Spirit Talk Radio, and Paranormal Encounters Radio. And on Fridays, Behind the Veil, and Saturdays, Paratrinity Radio. So be sure to tune in to www.asprn.com and click Listen Live.
Need your paranormal radio experience for the week? Looking for answers to the bumps in the night you hear? Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern in Studio A of the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network to get your paranormal radio experience every week.
Have you heard the stories of Bobby Mackey's music world being haunted? Maybe you heard the stories from others. Maybe you've seen it on the Travel Channel, or maybe you've seen it on World's Scariest Places. Either way, here is your chance to find out if the stories are true. Come down to Bobby Mackey's every Friday and Saturday and join us, NKYPS, and our partner group, Craps, as we host the Haunted Ghost Tours at Bobby Mackey's. Tours are only $5 per person and last approximately a half an hour. We know it's haunted. We have the evidence to prove it. Maybe you'll have an experience of your own or collect evidence of your own. Hope to see you there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Miami Town Ghost Talk. I'm Mike, your usual host, and unfortunately, Jeff could not make it tonight. He is working at the Board of Election, and he's stuck there till late, so he couldn't make it on tonight. So I have Crystal here. I've been waiting to use that for a long time.
Oh, good God. Yes, you have the sick lady here. I was forced to come. Blame Mike if you hear coughing all night.
Forced?
I was forced. He registered this computer screen, and he says, you will be here.
Well, our guest tonight is kind of a friend of yours, correct?
Yes, he is. So, I love Robbie.
That's very fitting. So yes, our guest tonight is Robbie Thomas. He is a psychic detective, for those of you who don't know him. And he's been seen on TV shows before, too, right?
He has. He's been on, dumb shows. He's been on a few shows. On Discovery and something, and I don't know. He's done a lot.
Wasn't he on one of those true TV shows?
He was.
Yeah. That's what.
And he's got some books, and he's got some DVDs, the Sally House, of course, and what is the other one? I don't know. I've got them.
Yeah, he told me that his most recent book was just released yesterday, so we'll be talking to him about that. And yes.
currently doing the Psychic Justice Tour. And
he is.
And that's coming near us soon, isn't it?
He will be in Louisville, Kentucky on the 21st of this month. Cool. And I will be there.
I won't.
It's a busy month for me.
It's a busy month for me, but not paranormally. It's anniversary and birthdays and crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, I have one of them coming up too on the 16th. 7 years.
10 years for me. I can't believe that.
He's a young dude.
Yeah. And he's also planning a Canadian-American conference, paranormal conference, I guess. So he'll tell us more about that as well.
Yeah, Robbie's always doing something. Busy, busy, busy.
Yep. Otherwise, for Miami Town folk events, there's really nothing going on. I don't even have a guest for next week yet, so I can't tell you what that will be.
My show's going to be fun tomorrow.
Tell us about your show.
Well, Paranormal Outreach Radio. It's every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Tomorrow night is our guest is going to be Carl Lawson. And for those who don't know who Carl is, he was the guy who got possessed at Bobby Mackey's when all the hauntings started. He was the caretaker there. And they had to do exorcism on him and everything. And that's where the book Hell's Gate by Doug Hensley came in and wrote the book on that. And now the events that happened with that. So it's going to be an interesting show.
So there are said to be demons haunting Bobby Mackey's?
No, I didn't say all that.
You said he was possessed. That's why I asked.
Excuse me. They say there's demons there. And he says, and they say he was possessed there. But I've been investigating Bobby Mackey's for 3.5 years now. I do the weekend tours on Fridays and Saturday nights. Every weekend, me and my group and craps. And I have seen somebody get slammed against the wall as I was standing there. But other than that, wow. I've not seen anything demonic, if you will. But I don't believe in demonic things, so... I think, my opinion, just my opinion, I'm only one person, but my opinion is, however you are in your living life is how you're going to be when you die. If you're a mean, evil person when you're alive, you're going to be a mean, evil person when you die. And people come in taunting you and calling you names and being mean towards you, you're going to react to that. So you get what you ask for.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
That's like you sitting in your living room and somebody coming in saying, "Why are you here?" Well, why are you here? This is my house.
Exactly. Or someone calling you and saying, "Who are you? Who right. is this?"
What's your name?
Yeah, I can understand that. And that's part of the reason a lot of people don't like provoking, because of the disrespect issue.
Well, I don't... Now, 99% of our cases are private homes and businesses, and we do not provoke on them cases. But when we go to places like Bobby Mackey's, I do. I'm bad for provoking. I'm the first one that will do it. I've seen things happen to everybody at Mackey's. Like I said, Luke from Quest/Kokomo Paranormal got slammed, picked up slammed provoking while he's down there provoking. Mike got his leg tied to the chair. I've seen people that's gotten scratched and stuff down there. And I've never had anything happen to me down there. And I call them everything under the sun.
So he got his leg tied to the chair? Was it like literally tied with rope or just felt like it was tied?
Yeah, with a wire it was. But I don't think that was anything malicious. I think it was a kid. I really think it was a kid trying to get his attention, just playing.
Where was the wire before it ended up around his leg? Like, how far did that wire
travel? It hung to the wall. It came down, like it used to be an old telephone cord or something. And it hung, like, alongside of the wall. But we was setting, like, I know the 3 feet, 2 or 3 feet from where the rope was hanging. And then there's no other way that it could have came over.
Wow.
And got around him. So it was pretty cool. And he didn't feel it when it happened. He felt something touch his back. That's why we think it was a kid. He felt something like touch his back, so he stood up to see what was behind him. And when he stood up, I was sat next to him, and his chair slung over into me. So.
Wow. Yeah, I need to come up there when you guys are provoking and stuff. I've never had.
Well, we weren't even provoking at that time, and that's why I think it was a kid. I really do. And it's the same area that we heard by ear kid's voice, a little girl's voice at one time that night. So.
My best experience was a possible disembodied voice once. That's it. Never seen anything. Never felt anything. Just heard EVPs and maybe a disembodied voice.
That's what Matt used to say. And then twice he had to do the 50-yard dash because he got scared from seeing an apparition right in front of him.
So I'm looking forward to that. Screaming like a little girl because something happens.
Right.
Before we go to commercial and call Robbie, I was asked to talk about something real quick, and as many of you may know, there has been a lot of flooding lately in Tennessee, Nashville area, and a friend of mine is asking for people who can to help out making donations to Red Cross. For those affected in the floods in Tennessee, you can go to NashvilleRedCross.org to make your donation, or you can call 615-250-4300, or you can text as well. I'm sure they tell you how to do all that on the website. I don't want to read how to text. It's it's crazy. And I'm sure all donations, any donation makes a difference, whether it's $1 or $1,000. Everything's appreciated, and I know that a lot of the area was really run down after that happened, so help some people out and do your good for the week.
Absolutely.
So it's about all I have. You have anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
Alright, I'd say we can go ahead and go to commercial and get Robbie on the phone.
Alrighty then.
So you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Are you experiencing strange noises? Seeing shadows and no one's there? Have an uneasy feeling in your own home? These may be signs of paranormal activity. Cincinnati Area Paranormal Existence Research, CAPER as we're also known as, provides free consultations and investigations. With over 30 years combined experience, CAPER can help you find the answers. For more information, give us a call at 513-407-4242. You are not alone. We can help. To help you learn more about paranormal activity, check us out on the web at caper.pararesearch.com.
Haunted Times Magazine is honored to have been chosen by the IPAA as the number one paranormal magazine in the world, offering its readers a look into the supernatural. Publishing consistently since 2005, Haunted Times Magazine has brought its readers the best information on hauntings, ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology, the newest technology, and much, much more. Start your subscription today by visiting the Haunted Times Magazine website at www.hauntedtimes.com. Just click on the Subscribe Now banner, fill out the simple information needed, and you'll begin your subscription to Haunted Times with our most recent issue, featuring an in-depth interview with Zach, Nick, and Aaron of television's Ghost Adventures. Mention this advertisement in the comments section of your order form and receive a much sought-after rare back issue of Haunted Times Magazine free with your paid subscription. Visit www.hauntedtimes.com today.
Hello, this is Steve Shockley. Do you know what I like to do on Sunday nights? I like to connect to ASPRN Radio and listen to Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. He's on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't forget, Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels.
Calling all you angels. Trinity Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Para Trinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
Kicking off the Thursday night lineup is Monster Quest's very own Jody Cook. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday night for Ohio Crypto Radio. Your host, Jody Cook, plans to delve into the many mysteries of cryptozoology, talking about Bigfoot, Mothman, and beyond. Come over to www.asprn.com every Thursday night at 8 p.m. for Jody Cook's Ohio Crypto Radio.
Hi, this is Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International and now the new Shantown Show on Para X Vision. And you're listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk. Enjoy the show, guys.
All right, everybody, and we're back. And we've got our special guest, Robbie Thomas, on the line. How you doing, Robbie?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Been sick for the past week, but other than that, we're surviving.
Oh, that's not good, being sick. You know, this is a bad time of year to get sick, too.
And it's the change of seasons, 30 degrees one day, 70 degrees the next.
Yeah.
It's bound to happen, so. We're getting over it pretty quickly, though.
Well, I'm not.
I am.
Cough, cough, hack, hack.
Right.
My wife is, but I guess it's all that smoking you do. So,
you smoke, Crystal?
Shh. Like a freight train.
Laugh again, you can hear it, eh?
Right.
Stop it, Rob.
Get her going.
Oh my God.
Yep.
So before we went on break, I was telling everybody that you just had a new book come out.
Yeah, we did. We had Paranormal Encounters come out. It's got great reviews by good critics, people actually who work in the paranormal, and like EVP specialist Michael Esposito, Bob Davis, Planet Paranormal, Keith Age. It's got a lot of great people who have given me some kudos about it, and you know, it took a long time to write it, a long time to take everywhere I've been in North America, put it together, and it has two movies that are behind the scenes. You know, we've seen the movies Dead Whispers, we've seen Sally House, but people don't get the opportunity to hear what happened afterwards or what you brought home with you and, you know, what went on with this individual that was in the movie. So we put it all together and you get behind the scenes.
That's pretty neat. And that came out yesterday, right?
It came out yesterday. It was an official release. Should be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. All your internet stores should have it very soon. And go to your local bookstore and just tell them to punch up Publish America and you can get it.
Cool. So forgive my ignorance here, but as far as the Sally House, what do you do there? Are you an investigator or do you run it?
No, actually, long story of this was, in 06, New Dominion Pictures from Discovery Channel, 14-time award-winning film producer Ronald James, EVP specialist Michael Esposito, and myself were to be down in Atchison, Kansas, filming the Sally House. Now, I got visited by a woman spirit and told me to stay home because this is what's going to happen. Michael's going to say this to this person, and this person's going to do this to this person, and so on. And so I sat there, and I looked at it. It was like watching, you know, someone standing at the edge of your bed telling you this. So I went ahead, and I called 14-time award-winning film producer Ronald James, and I said, I'm not coming, and I explained why. And I explained what he was going to do and what was going to happen to him. And I did the same for Michael Esposito and Michael McDowell from Indiana Ghost Trackers, and also that of New Dominion Pictures' Tom Naughton. And sure enough, it was a day later, or a day and a bit later, you know, thousands of dollars spent, everybody down there in the production and everything, it all went kiboshed. And I got phone call after phone call saying, okay, you were right about this, you're right about that. It wasn't me being right, it was the fact that whoever was from that home told me not to come and waste my time. So this is the funny, canny, uncanny part about it was, a year to the very day, I'm on tour in 07, and it was the Spirit Tour. We went throughout the United States, New Orleans, Indiana, all around. And Kansas was one of the stops, because Michael Esposito said, why don't you come here and do a stop, and we'll go to the Sally House. And I said, sure. And I never thought. And I put it together after we were there. It was that night. It was the year to the very day that that film was supposed to be shot, that we're shooting it now. And it was a warm, pleasant feeling, and people flew in from like Las Vegas, Canada, New York, all over to come down to do this tour stop. We were there for 4 days. It was pretty amazing. You know, we felt, we got pictures, we seen what was put on film and what was captured on film was amazing. And I guess it was the right time. Spirit lets you know when the right time is, and this was the right time.
Wow. So do you do paranormal investigations as well as your psychic detective work?
Absolutely. You know, I've been doing paranormal for 32 years.
Okay.
Paranormal investigations is, like in my book, you know, I went back 15 years, Perryville Battlefield, Al Capone Speakeasy in Chicago, Manteno State Hospital in Illinois, the Studebaker Mansion in Indiana, the list goes on, New Orleans, all over. And there's stuff there that's very behind the scenes, you know, what was captured on film. And there's a lot of snapshots in that book that are just totally amazing.
So what was the best experience you had in the process of going through all of it? Like, what's one of the most frightening or fascinating things you've seen?
I think the best time was sitting with Michael Esposito, and the first time I ever had bourbon. And we were in the Talbot Tavern in Bardstown. And I never touched bourbon in my life. And I think it was after one shot, two shots. You know, I was seeing spirits. But, I mean, it was great. Honestly, it was a great time. We went to Perryville Battlefield. And we seen so much. We got hit. I fell into a divot where one of the cannonballs exploded. And as I fell down and I got up, Michael was standing to the right of me. And the cameraman was over just a little bit in front of him. And as I was coming up, I was laughing and I was saying, holy crap, these damn holes. And as I stood up, I said, you hear that? And I can hear them running by us. And I got slapped and my hat went flying off my head about 4 or 5 feet away from me. He jumped, Michael Esposito jumped about 10 feet to the right. And I look at that and I think, those are memories because we encountered, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was just telling Crystal before break that my best experience is maybe a possible disembodied voice, and I've never really seen anything or had any experience like that, so I could imagine thinking back and having a memory like that is just an incredible, I guess, feeling.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a good one here. We were in Al Capone Speakeasy, and we're just come up from the basement. There was Christopher O'Brien, who was on National Geographic. He worked with Linda Moulton Howe, so he's behind the cameras now for Dead Whisper. The 14-time award-winning film producer, Ronald James, he worked with Clive Baker, and he crossed over to the paranormal. He shot the Crocodile Hunter, Home and Garden. He crossed over to do this film. Mm-hmm. And we had Michael Esposito, Michael McDowell, Indiana Ghost Trackers, and a bunch of people. And as I got pushed against the wall, I said, did you see that? And Christopher said, yeah. And so I said, file in. And everybody was coming up and going to the card room. I went down the hallway. It was a long hallway. And I'm shutting off all the lights. But we left the card room light on so that it was like normal daylight light. It was, you can see everybody. And as I got to the other end, there was a lull in the conversation that they were having in that card room. And you could hear it. And it said, get the F out.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And everybody's eyeballs were so huge. You know, they were like big fried eggs. And as I got back there, and you can hear them, they're all talking, oh my gosh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? It was amazing.
Wow. So when you do these investigations, do you do it like the standard, as they say, scientific way with EMF detectors and EVP recorders or digital recorders and IR cameras and all that?
Yeah, I watch all those guys run around with minor hats on, with the lights on and everything. It's funny. just teasing them. I work right alongside them, so we got to go back and forth.
Do you work investigations as a psychic?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I work both sides of it. I'm scientific. A lot of people don't know this, but I'm scientific too. So, like I said, I'm my own worst skeptic and cynic, and I have to prove to what is going on. We're in Mantino State Hospital, and I hear her say her name, and I'm holding her hand, and my hand's ice cold. And I said to Christopher O'Brien, I said, touch it. And he touched it. He goes, it's cold. And I said, yeah. And her name is Linda Morris. But she says her name before I say her name on film, and it was Lydia Morris. And I called her Linda, and you can hear it. And then they did a record check, and there was a Lydia Morris that was a patient there.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So do you get a lot of validation and the, I guess you could say, scientific evidence from what you see and feel all the time? Or is that uncommon to actually get that validation because spirits don't talk on command?
No, it's amazing. Just on that in doppelgangers, I'm going to give you an example. Just 2 days ago, my daughter and I were going out the back door. She says, Dad, there's three ducks in the pool. And I said, what? And there's three ducks in the pool. And I said, so she's like 5 feet ahead of me. She turns the corner to go out the laundry room back door. The door open, and I see my other daughter, Jessica, go out the door, and the door shut. And then Cherish said, come on, Dad. And I can see that. I was like 5 feet from her. Right. She opens the door, and I said, where did Jessie go? She said, I don't know. And she opened the door and shut the door, and we're on the deck, and I'm going, where's Jessie? And I don't know. And then I said, oh, wow, and look at the ducks. And we come back in. And as we were coming back in, my daughter come down from the third floor, and there's no doors up there. There's no more decking or anything. It's like the third floor. She come down. She says, what are you guys doing? And I said, didn't you just go out the door there? And, you know, so this, you know, in your own home, you get validation. And it's amazing. It's you look at stuff like that, and it happens in everyday life. People don't realize it, but it does.
So would you say everyone has a spirit in their house?
You know, spirits are free will. They come and go, and it's not that this building is possessed or has an entity in it. You know, an entity. I'd hate to call my mother an entity, but, you know, she comes and visits, or the lady who lived here prior to comes and visits. Right. I've been into many homes that there have been activity. It's amazing. Spirits are free will. They come and go.
So, I mean, like, I live in an apartment, and as far as I know, there's nothing here. Do you think that there's a good chance there is stuff here, and I'm just not, I guess, intuitive or open enough to see or hear it?
No, you know, we become, you know, in layman's terms, we become ignorant, and we just don't pay attention enough because we're so busy in our everyday lives. We're just so, you know, caught up in stress. We're caught up in what is for dinner and, right, you know, are my kids, you know, clothes clean for tomorrow? We just don't pay attention because we're so used to our everyday lives. And, you know, my children are learning to pay attention to the little things like that. Like I just explained, the doppelganger. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was amazing to see that. It happens everywhere, in every situation, and every walk of life.
One of my most interesting, I guess, closest to psychic experiences I've ever had, I was laying in bed with my wife, we getting ready to go to sleep, and apparently she was silent, and I could have sworn I heard her say something, and for the life of me, I can't remember what it was, but she said, what did you think I said? And I told her, and right after that, she told me that she was thinking something that matched what I thought she said exactly. She was thinking about that exact same thing. And that's never really happened to me before or anything, and I just thought that was very strange and kind of one of those kind of just, I don't know, paranormal moments, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of putting it, paranormal moment. You know, I wrote in my first book, you know, about the baby steps of intuition, spirituality versus, you know, the humanistic way. You're listening to a song on the radio, and all of a sudden you're thinking of another song, and it pops on the radio. Or you're sitting there And I don't know if you ever had this happen. I know it's happened to me numerous times. You'll be watching TV, and all of a sudden, you just look over at the phone, or you think the phone's going to ring, and the phone rings.
Yep.
You know, or you're thinking of a friend you haven't seen in a long time, and then all of a sudden, the next day, you're in the mall, and you see that friend. You know, these are just baby steps of intuition. Your inner self is actually reaching out.
Is that something that everyone can be trained to use?
Oh, absolutely. This is things that we overlook. Again, getting so busy in our everyday life, never taking the moment to, you know, sit and actually channel this. I used to teach for, you know, up to 10 years on MSN and stuff like that. I had my own chat sites and tried to, you know, help people out in recognizing the baby steps and journaling, doing this type of work. Mm-hmm. That would be the best thing, because if you take a look at your child and your child comes to you and says, Freddy is my imaginary friend. Well, you know, don't pass that off as a joke. I would be sitting down, grabbing a journal, writing down explicit words that your child words in the exact manner, putting it down properly in the context that later on that they can look at it and say, yeah, I remember that. I remember saying that about my imaginary friend, but actually I was seeing them in that fashion. I would do that because, sure, you know, we get older as adults, we become more cold and hardened and more skeptical, because we need that tangible. We really need that tangible to access what it is that we are about. But if we look back as we were a child, we were carefree. We didn't see black and white. We seen rainbow, and that's all we cared about. And there was no in between. And so we got to learn to focus on that and get back to that generalization of wanting to know more.
Right. As a child, you're not taught what's right and what's wrong and what's real and what's fake. So you believe anything and everything that you see or hear, no matter what. So
you're innocent.
Right. So when, as a child or as an adult even, did you realize you had your abilities that you have? I mean, did that come early on in your life, or was that later?
No, at age 3, my mother had a baby out of wedlock years before she met my father, married him, and had me. And being Roman Catholic back then, they were strict. They were really weird back in the early 60s, 50s, 40s, whatever. So, you know, you look at how they took a baby from a mother, gave the baby up for adoption, and everything was secret and coded. Everything was just, you know, under the rug. No one spoke of it. Well, my mother meets my father years later, has me, and then I'm 3 years old, 3 or 4 years of age, and I'm saying, either I'm adopted or I have a sister out there. And I know that really plagued her. Now I realize that. And I realized it in my 20s. But, you know, as a child, you're just inquisitive because you have these feelings. You have this sense of knowing. And I remember my father saying, get in here, leave your mother alone. And I used to do it on occasion. So I'll bring you fast forward to age 28 now. My mother passes, and the family pulls me aside. And my uncle and my aunt went to the park. We're sitting on the picnic table. And they said, you know, Rob, all these years, she's been looking for you. And I said, who? And I said, your sister. And I said, oh, my God. And they said, yeah. And her name's Mary. And I got to meet her. And they did a big media blitz, which I have the tapes from the local radio station here and clippings. And it was amazing because here's a 3-year-old, you know, 25 years prior to, saying I have a sister or I'm adopted. And then all of a sudden, age 28, it come tenfold, you know, true. And it was amazing.
Wow. So how did you handle that growing up? I mean, at the age of 3, all the way through all your schooling and everything, I mean, was that something that kind of, I don't know, hindered you and got you ridiculed and stuff, or did you hide it? Or, I mean, how would you handle something like that? That seems like an awful lot to go through as a child.
Absolutely. And I write about that in the book, too, my first one. I write about the peer pressure and how my life would be crushed if people found out. Kept it a secret for a long time. The only one I confided in was my mother. And age 13, my father bought this home. I was going into high school, St. Patrick's High School. And it was a fire in the house. The man died. So my father bought this home. We gutted it. We remodeled it all summer long, and I remember going to bed one night. It was a clear night, and the moon was coming, shining through the window. I shut the light off. I get in bed. It illuminated the bedroom. It was like you could see like with the light on. And I pull up the covers and close my eyes, and then I open my eyes and look to my left, and there he was. He stood right there. His brim hat, his overalls, his hands that were like in, not in his armpits, but like holding the overalls themselves. And he walked closer to me, and he was talking. He was telling me about Cecil and Bill and Mr. Waters across the road. And I, you know, it freaked me out, and I screamed and pulled the covers over my head, and my mother come on and turned the light on, and I explained to her what happened, and she said, you know, maybe he'll come back, and you'll talk to him more and get to know him. And she knew, because she was intuitive, and she knew. And so certainly I got to know this individual. And when he was talking about Cecil, Bill, and Mr. Waters, well, they were all good friends. They were all best friends. And he explained that Cecil was going to die, Bill was going to die, and Mr. Waters was going to die. And I was listening to what was going on. And within that summer, Cecil had come down with cancer, and very fast, within a few months, he shrunk down to nothing. And I remember him walking across the street to talk to my father sitting on the porch. I used to love listening to his stories. He was Scottish, and he had this really deep accent. And he's holding his pants, and he thinned away to nothing. And he would come, and I just admired this man, you know, the courage that he had. And sure enough, he died. And then Bill died in a hunting accident, and Mr. Waters had a heart attack all that summer. Wow. And it was just amazing because he explained to me exactly what was going to happen.
Wow. Did you... I mean, I couldn't even imagine how I would... I mean, to experience that, I couldn't even imagine what that would be like, to know I've been told that it was going to happen and have no power to stop anything or do anything about it.
Yeah, you know, back... In that time, I was just becoming myself and learning, and you can't stop the inevitable. I learned that now, and I know that now. But then it was just too much thrown at me. So the only person I confided in was my mother, and I would tell her that. And when things were coming true, you know, I look at her, and she just knew. The day of her dying, you know, I tell this story a lot. I was visited, and I call them the Council of God, which were the Four Horsemen. And I was pinned to my bed. A lot of people hear about this stuff, being pinned to your bed. You can't move, and you see spirits, and they explain things to you. Well, I was morbid. I could not move. And as they were telling me things would be okay, they were showing me what was going to happen to my mother that day. And they were explaining that it was her time, that it'd be okay. I went over to her house like every day, coffee and toast, you know, and sit with her in the mornings.
Right.
And she wouldn't look at me. And I remember her being in the corner of the kitchen by the Lazy Susan making coffee. And I said, you know, I'm compelled to tell you this. And I don't know what, Mom, but this is what happened last night, and today's your day. And I remember her turning around, looking at me. And I remember her saying, you know, go home, and I'll call you in a little while, and I'll watch Natasha later. And I didn't understand why, but I felt that compelling to stay, or I had to go. And that push-pull factor, so I ended up going home. Now, I'm sitting in the kitchen with my wife and my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
The phone rings, and this is about an hour and a half later, and it's my father on the other line. He's screaming, it's your mother, it's your mother. And so my best friend, Jimmy, grabbed me, and we went in the car, and we drove over there fast. And as we get to my mom's house, my dad's house, there's the one guy on top of her on the gurney, and the other guy pulling the gurney, and he's doing CPR. I remember her little purple socks. I remember her hand hanging over the side, every little bit of everything. And, you know, being shown the night before, and here I was just an hour and a half prior to telling her this, and there she is, and she, you know, she's gone. It's amazing when you get stuff like that. You don't know how to disperse this energy. Right. Or how to discern it. But I've learned over time, and looking back and then helping out in murder missing persons cases, I've noticed the change in myself, and I'm still growing. And, you know, I'm still learning. I'm just, you know, just, I would say, walking through that door. I haven't begun to become anything of anything. It's just, you know, it's all new to me as it is new to you hearing this.
So can you... Or have you, I guess would be a better question, see what, like with your family, you kind of heard or saw something that kind of told you this was going to happen soon. Is that, did that happen because you were close to them, they were family, or can you, does that happen with other people too, happen with strangers or friends or on your cases, stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Happens it with anyone?
Yeah, it does. And I told Rebecca Stafford this, and Doreen, grandma of Victoria Stafford, who was murdered here last April. I said to them, you know, prior to the hitting the news, I seen a young girl, blonde hair, walking into the tree line in that alleyway, the road, the wagon wheels, and I explained that to them. And then, you know, I knew this was going to happen, so I explained it to, you know, to my wife. I said, this is what's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen soon. And sure enough, it was a few days later, it hit the news. There's a little 8-year-old little girl missing, and they're looking for her. So I offered my help to the family, and with the drawings and the criminal profiling, mm-hmm. and what have you, and sitting with Detective Beth Brown and Doreen and Rebecca and Rodney. And sure enough, the two people now who did this, they were looking for a woman. A woman led the child away from the school. And I said, no, it's a woman and a man. And I profiled the man, his age, what he did, and what he looked like, and same thing with the woman. And sure enough, they matched the criteria, and those two are in jail now for murder one. But yeah, I seen it prior to it happening, absolutely.
Wow. It just seems like something that if you could really, I guess, train your body well enough, it seems like something that could really help so many people or so many things in this world, if enough people could tune into their senses like that. And I don't know, it seems like a superpower or something like you'd see on TV.
I know, you know, I don't look at it that way, but it's a funny way of putting it. It's a good analogy. But I mean, me today, you tomorrow, there's other people out there who, you know, help out as well. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it happens. You know, I used to say, like you asked me about being a teenager or in my younger youth, how did I deal with it? I used to think it was a curse. I used to think it was really bad. I woke up, you know, just moments, and here's another thing too, you know, baby steps of intuition. I woke up moments before the phone rang late at night one night, and it was my grandmother, and she was in the hospital. She went for a simple ear operation, and she ended up dying. And I remember waking up about 5 minutes before the phone and just crying my eyes out and screaming. And my mother going, what's wrong? And all of a sudden the phone rang. And this is like 3 a.m. And then my father calling my mother to the phone and saying, it's your mom. And, you know, it's just amazing how it happens.
Uh-huh. And that's got to be, I don't know, I guess disturbing. I mean, I just couldn't imagine that. So let's go ahead and move on a little bit here. I kind of got away from topic. As far as your, since we're talking about the psychic and everything, your psychic justice tour, is that going on right now? Have you started that?
Yeah, absolutely. We hit Indiana coming up here this Friday, actually. We'll be at the Freemasons Hall in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I'll be reading John Percival, his daughter was firebombed in 1992, Christmas Eve. Her and her fiance, and they died in this fire. Now, John was quoted in the Journal Gazette that I gave him information along with Detective Mike Vaughn prior to anything. I mentioned what happened prior to the fire, what happened during the fire, and what happened after the fire, and this wasn't made public, and they were amazed, but it's not coming from me, it's coming from her. And so I'll be reading him live. I'll be reading Sheila Wims. She passed away. She was murdered. Her mother will be there, Marilyn Williams. And people will get a chance to see how psychic detective work is done. The automatic sketching, the channeling of spirit, and the validation of things that I don't know, that they won't know, that the families and the police will say live on stage.
Huh. And this tour is something that goes across the nation? Like, do you go all over the U.S. and Canada, or...?
Yeah, we just did two tour stops here in Canada. Now we're hitting Indiana this Friday. Next week I'm going to be in Iowa. I'm doing three cases there. The high-profile case of Jody Huizentrout, the news anchor woman who's been missing, on-scene death investigator Gary Peterson, and apparently I talked to him today, one of the detectives of the case from Mason, Iowa will be coming. We're doing Nikki Ehlers. She died just this April of mysterious death, and all I have is her picture, so I said a few things to the mother, and she was taken back. She's holding back the information for now. And then Barbara Zent, who's been missing, I'll be reading that case as well, and I'll be helping out after the fact I'm in Iowa. And then when I get back from Iowa, I'm off to Kentucky, and I'll be in Paintsville, Kentucky area, and I'm going to be helping Sharon O'Hare with her daughter, a high-profile, mysterious case. It's a double homicide of April Pennington, her daughter, and her Timothy, her boyfriend. You know, there's things that came up in that case that just nobody knew. Just it is not made public again, and it's going to change it from an accidental drowning to murder.
Wow, you sound pretty busy there. So do you do readings for public as well? I mean, obviously on these you do it for the murder victims or the lost, but do you do events or anything like that and just do public psychic readings?
Like a gallery type thing?
Yeah, I guess. Or even
yeah, you know, if I get time, I will do it. In a show like we're doing or an event where we're talking about, they're slotted for 2 hours, but they usually go about three. And by the end of time of 3 hours of me speaking, I'm kind of worn out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been quite a while since I've done a gallery reading. But, you know, sitting there and doing a generalized reading on someone is more easy than to do a murder case. To go up and give you, this is the name of the murderer, and this is where they're located. And, you know, this is the specifics of the case. And the police sit there and they take these notes and, you know, it helps them out. I got a call today from Jennifer Landry, her father in Boston area. We talked for about an hour, and the detective Morissette and all the information that went to him, it's amazing because the guy's in jail now, and that's the guy who did murder her, and they're just taken back by it. Well, it's not me. It's the fact that spirit comes through, and it's the family members. You know, we're just the catalyst, you, me, everybody who's listening. It's just the opportunity that they've chosen me, and next week they can choose you.
So these spirits that come through and talk to you about, say, missing persons, are they the spirits of just spirits that are watching over these missing people, or are they, I guess, like, who are the spirits? Are they just kind of like the angels, or...
You know, that's a good thing. I'm glad you said that. There's a quote, and we've all heard this, you know, we never lose anyone, we gain angels. And when we look at the fact that somebody's family member has passed on, they're not in any pain, they're not in any turmoil anymore. They are actually trying to make us more at ease and to realize and understand the betterment of what life is about. So... if it be at a murder case or a missing person or someone who has, you know, faltered their life by themselves, you know, under their own hand, they still come back and they try to teach us lessons and to help us out to cope. And so when we take a look at that, we look at the fact that, you know, Jennifer Landry come out and said specifics about her tattoo. And I said, it's a kangaroo, but it doesn't look like a kangaroo. It's kind of funny, and I can't really make it out. But what it was the tattoo on her leg was a kangaroo Pikachu, and I couldn't make it out. But that's what she was showing me. So that's validity in that case to show she was coming through.
All right. That's pretty cool.
I like Pikachu. Aww.
Did you hear something?
I did. Sound like a Pikachu EVP.
Yeah, Pikachu EVP. Don't get a coffin.
Right.
You know how long it took her to catch her breath to say two words and you got her going again?
Uh-huh.
Exactly. I get so mistreated.
So, after the, or I don't know if it's after or before or during, you're planning a conference?
Yeah, in my hometown again. This will be the second one. We got Keith Age coming. We have Aaron Houdini coming. He is a long line of the Houdinis, a Harry Houdini. And we have
he's
David.
He's great. I've seen him perform twice now.
Yeah, he's cool, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a good friend. And we have David Foltz coming. He's in Dark Knight, My Bloody Wedding. He'll be coming up here as well. We have EVP specialist Michael Esposito from the Indiana area. He starred with me in Dead Whisper and the Sally House movie. He's been on tour with me before. He'll be up here. And we have Amy Williamson from Michigan, Paranormal Women's Radio. And she'll be here as well. And we got some other surprise guests. It's going to be a good time.
Cool. And that's, your hometown is in Canada, right?
Yeah, and everybody can check it out at Can-Am. That's for Canadian and American. It's CanAmParacon.com.
The other name of the movie, Mike, I was trying to think of, Dead Whispers. I was sitting here trying to tell him before you came on. I said, I got the video. I was too lazy to get up and go look.
We actually got a caller here. Well, we have someone else on the line here while you were talking. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am finally here, and I apologize that I missed most of the show. It's the Ohio primaries today, and I have to work for the Board of Elections, so I just got back, and I apologize to the guests and to everybody who was anxious to hear me speak, so I am here now.
And there's a $5 entry fee now.
Do I pay that on the internet over a credit card? Do you want my credit card?
You can put it on layaway and we can add interest to it, yes.
Well, I can just give them the credit card number now. It's 5424.
Well, I'm close to you, so I want cash.
Careful, don't give your credit card number out. We got a woman listening.
Right.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt. You can continue with the line of questioning. I'm sorry, I'm kind of out of the loop. So
I just wanted to introduce. I just wanted to say hi, since you are normally a host of the show. So, all right. now I'm coughing. For the conference, are you holding any investigations or anything afterwards? I know that's a popular thing to do with a lot of the conferences near here. Do you have any big event going on?
Other than the
main event?
Yeah, I'm doing the touring. We're going to be hitting, again, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Missouri, Michigan, Texas, there's quite a few places we'll be hitting. Ohio, I'm working with the U.S. Marshals on a major case in Ohio. I work with all the different police. So, those are the main events, is to try to help and assist the families. So that's what I look forward to.
Cool.
I guess looking at the pinnacle of this year would be the fact that, just being able to get out there and help people. That's all I look forward to, really.
Yeah, I guess that's all that really matters, is helping people and doing what you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you have a website for people to check out about the tour?
Yes, we do. You guys can all go to www.robbythomas.net. Check out the sites that we're going to. We're going to add a lot more coming up. We're going to hit L.A. with Danielle Agnew. Famous rock star. She's a psychic as well. She's worked murder cases before as well. We'll be doing with Andrew Brewer. He'll be there. We're looking at, there's a lot of places we're going to be hitting and doing. So take a look. Keep an eye on robbythomas.net. There's a lot of things coming up. We shot the pilot to the new TV series, Psychic Justice. It goes by a different name. It'll be coming out shortly. We're still waiting for the network and the production company to, you know, get over their swaggling together. But it's still a go. You know, there's a lot more stuff on that's happening. I've been approached by two other major production companies, plus a third, where it's mysterious things that go on in the world. And I like that, you know, go and look for the Loch Ness or, you know, go UFO, and it's all like one big show. So right. I've been asked to be the main psychic on that show, and I agreed. And then there's another major company that wants to do the most dangerous dark hauntings of the world, and I'm really thinking about that as well.
I don't know if you're allowed to say, but what would some of the most dangerous dark hauntings in the world be?
You know, looking at we have the Bermuda Triangle, but there's the Black Triangle in Australia, the Mayan temples, going to, you know, deep into Egypt, stuff wow. like that, where I know we watch Ghost Hunters International and they go to specific areas, right. but, you know, we're going to go to a little bit deeper, like Bora Bora, get right in the jungles, see what goes on, deep in the Amazon, go to, you know, Mexico, the mines where the Star Child skull was found, things like that.
Wow, that would be cool. Have you done investigations overseas in other countries?
I've been in Portugal, and I've done a lot of work on the islands of the Azores, yes.
Cool. Do you find that they're, like, I know, like, England and Ireland area is very known for their ghosts, and because they've got such history behind them, they're very, I guess you could say, very haunted. Are they like that in where you've been as well?
Yeah, you know, it was amazing. I listened to a story. This older gentleman passed away, and I listened to the story of how he would say a prayer over a very sick child, and I watched how he did it, and his jaw would open. And as his jaw would drop, I mean, it was unusual how his jaw would drop. It wasn't, you can't do this, and I couldn't do it. It was really weird. It was almost like he dislocated it, but it would drop, and then he would talk and chant. And I heard the story of the fact that the girl the next day, who was very ill, was running around the street playing ball again. It was amazing. They got a very deep ethic of Catholic religion, you know, spirituality there. And it's amazing. And I will lend a little more credence to this story, the fact that my one book, Signs from Heaven, was endorsed by the Canadian government and was read in Parliament and by Roger Galloway. Now, he was a member of Parliament, and what happened was I had the White House, I had the Israelis, I had the Vatican, the Portuguese government, the Spanish government, the Canadian government, all involved in this woman's life where she willed me. And her spirit, again, here you go, she shows up in the bedroom, and it's like watching a movie, and there she is, and she's telling me what's going on. While she was dying of a liver ailment, and all they had to do was save her by getting her the proper medication, but she was still alive. And so her spirit willed me. It was really different. Wow. So getting contacted with all these different, you know, major governments, and they're calling my house, and we're talking, and it's all documented in the book, in the story, and it's a bittersweet, but, you know, our Canadian government cut through the red tape, and they cut through it. I mean, like, the next day we had visas issued for the doctors, for her family. We had doctors over here that were going to perform the operation for free. We had the UN involved, and they were going to lend a Hercules airplane to land and pick her up on that short runway on the Azor Island to bring her here. And we had the Toronto Dominion Bank involved. It was amazing. It's, you know, you look at stuff like that and you think it's impossible. That can never happen. It happened. And that's why the Canadian government endorsed the book. You know, it's amazing.
Huh. Wow. Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour here. So I just wanted to give you a chance to take the mic and just kind of plug what you want. I know you've given out your websites, but I don't know if you want to do it again or if there's something else you wanted to mention. Just give you free rein to talk for a moment here before we go.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, everybody, check out robbythomas.net. Check out the tours. You need help in anything, you know, my office is here. I'm coming on tour. Get those tickets. you know, people think you're making a mint, you know, we don't make a mint. It gets us to the next one and the next one and the next one to help out all these different families. And that's what it's about. I've never taken a red cent from any family. I've never taken reward money. And, you know, it's going out in helping these individuals. So come on out and support this. It's all about helping each other.
Definitely.
Absolutely is. Unity.
Exactly. But I would like to say thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
With my hands or without, yes.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. But
I did. That's because I do it, though, so.
That's the French in me coming out. You know, I'm always, when I'm talking, my hands are flying all over the place.
That's why when we did the episode of The Haunted, mine was cut so far, like, it was all the way up to my chest instead of halfway like everybody else, because my hands were steadily going.
Jeff talks with his hands a lot, too. He can't hold a microphone when we're doing presentations because the microphone's flying all over the place because him talking with his hands.
I talk with my hands, so if people don't listen, I can just hit them with my hands. See how that works?
Well, 90% of communication is with the, I guess, with the body language. That's why people don't understand me when I'm here on the radio.
Right, they can't hear your hands?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's almost like going through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and you start talking, you go, I'll order, and then I'll have some of, and then they'll say, what are you doing? Well, I'm talking with my hands, can you see?
Oh, God.
That's why my orders are always wrong. I get it now. All right, well, like I said, thank you very much. It's been an honor talking to you.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And I think we're going to take a break here real quick, and we'll come back and say goodbye to everybody. So, you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Be right back.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Need your paranormal radio experience for the week? Looking for answers to the bumps in the night you hear? Tune into Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern in Studio A of the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network to get your paranormal radio experience. Every week.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Every Thursday night at 10 p.m., be sure to catch Paranormal Encounters Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, www.asprn.com. Your host, Leanna, would also like to invite you to join the Paranormal Encounters organization at www.paranormalencounters1.ning.com.
Hi, this is James Willis, co-author of Weird Ohio.
All right, and we're back. That was cut off. I don't know what happened to that drop, but that was James Willis. But
it was paranormal.
I think I screwed up a lot of my audio and working on other audios and chopping them up, and then they saved incorrectly.
It's not paranormal. It's ASPRI normal.
Right.
So, we that was Robbie Thomas that you've been listening to, and it's been a great show. And Jeff got to join us for the last, 15 minutes?
Something like that. It was... I just got to listen, and I'm not sure I understood exactly what was going on because I missed the first half of the show, but...
It was good stuff. You'll have to listen to the recording.
Do a podcast.
Yes.
Because I like to think that I learn something every time I do one of these shows, and I'm afraid I didn't learn enough today, so I'll have to listen to the podcast.
If you pay $5.99...
Plus tax.
So
you can learn a lot.
I tried to give my credit card number, but...
I said, don't give it. There's a woman on the show.
I'm listening.
But I think we're about done here. Did you have anything you wanted to say, Jeff?
I did want to mention the Parastat site that that me and Web Guy are working on. It is coming along, and for those of you who haven't heard the show before or heard me talk about this, and this has been what I've been talking about for a little while. The Parastat site is a site where I hope that we can just pool a lot of information from all these different paranormal groups out there and do it anonymously, so to help prevent some of that that hubris that's always present with all those groups trying to get ahead. So I'm just thinking that if we could pool that all the evidence, there's all those different groups out there, and they all have all this different evidence, but it's all on their separate websites, and they're not being compared. And if we have them all on this one website, or if we at least get a good sampling of these results from the investigation on the website, then maybe these patterns will start to emerge, and we'll start to see maybe in buildings like this, with this many investigators, with this equipment, you're more likely to get results than this, and just as a whole, make that make the entire field advance in that way, where you have just this resource that you can go to, and we're not saving all the stats for ourselves and then saying them on the show or anything like that. And they're going to be available for anybody. Anybody can see what these stats are. Anybody can see what the patterns start ending up being, and then test that and go out and then post the results from that. I haven't gotten a chance to look at it today. It sounds like there's been some... it's further along than it was last week, and hopefully next week it's further along than it was the week before. But I'm really excited about it, and go ahead and start. And if you can, I'm not sure if it's up yet, but if you can, go ahead and start posting results on there, and see how this turns out.
I think I actually understand it all now. It was much clearer when you explained it this time. I don't know why. Maybe I was paying more attention.
I was waving my hands.
Oh. Yes, you were talking with your hands.
And 90% of communication is with the hands.
Yes, so everyone
that's
could
what
check
I had
that
to
out.
Alrighty then.
Alright, so thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Robbie, for talking to us. Thank you, Crystal, for filling in for Jeff.
Yes.
And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, guys.
Thank you, Robbie.
And you're welcome, Crystal.
And I guess good night, everybody. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, this is Katie. Thanks for listening to my daddy. You rule.
Thank you for listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk.